Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 So reading 22, which has no purport. Natasya kaschit daita pratipo na jyati bandur na paro na cha sva samasya sarvatra niranjanasya sukhe naraga kuta eva rosha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally disposed towards all living entities. Therefore, no one is very dear to him, and no one is a great enemy for him. No one is his friend, and no one is his relative. Being unattached to the material world, he has no affection for so-called happiness or hatred, or so-called distress. The two terms happiness and distress are relative. Since the Lord is always happy, for him there is no question of distress. Text 23. Please repeat. Tatapi.
Tatapi.
Touch.
Touch.
Chakti.
Chakti.
Visarga.
Visarga.
Esham.
Esham.
Sukhaya.
Sukhaya.
Dukhaya.
Dukhaya.
Hita hitaya.
Hita hitaya.
Bandhaya.
Bandhaya.
Mokshaya.
Mokshaya.
Cha.
Cha.
Mrityu.
Mrityu.
Janmano.
Janmano.
Sharirinam.
Sharirinam.
Samsritye avakalpate.
Avakalpate.
Tatapi taschakti visarga esham.
Tatapi taschakti visarga esham.
Sukhaya dukhaya hita hitaya.
Sukhaya dukhaya hita hitaya.
Bandhaya mokshaya cha mrityum janmano.
Bandhaya mokshaya cha mrityum janmano.
Sharirinam samsritaye vyakalpate.
Sharirinam samsritaye vyakalpate.
Tatapi,
tatapi,
still,
still,
touch shakti,
touch shakti,
of the Lord's energy,
of the Lord's
energy, visargaha,
visargaha,
the creation,
the creation,
esham,
esham,
of these conditioned souls,
of these conditioned souls,
sukhaya,
sukhaya,
for the happiness,
for the happiness,
dukhaya,
dukhaya,
for the distress,
for the distress.
Hita ahitaya,
hita ahitaya,
for the profit and loss.
For the profit and loss.
Bandhaya,
bandhaya,
for the bondage.
For the bondage.
Mokshaya,
mokshaya,
for the liberation.
For the liberation.
Cha,
cha,
also.
Also.
Mrityu,
mrityu,
of death.
Of death.
Janmano,
janmano,
and birth.
And birth.
Sharirinam,
sharirinam,
of all those who accept material bodies.
Of all those who accept material bodies.
Samsritaye,
samsritaye,
for the repetition.
For the repetition.
Avakalpate,
avakalpate,
acts.
Acts.
Translation. Although the Supreme Lord is unattached to our happiness and distress according to karma, and although no one is his enemy or favorite, he creates pious and impious activities through the agency of his material potency. Thus, for the continuation of the materialistic way of life, he creates happiness and distress, good fortune and bad, bondage and liberation, birth and death. Purport. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate doer of everything, in his original transcendental existence, he is not responsible for the happiness and distress or bondage and liberation of the conditioned soul, of the conditioned souls. These are due to the results of the fruitive activities of the living entities within the material world. By the order of a judge, one person is released from jail and another is imprisoned. But the judge is not responsible for the distress and happiness of these different people. But the judge is not responsible for the distress and happiness of these different people is due to their own activities. Although the government is ultimately the supreme authority, the justice is administered by the departments of the government, and the government is not responsible for the individual judgments. Therefore, the government is equal to all the citizens. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is neutral to everyone, but for the maintenance of law and order, his supreme government has various departments which control the activities of the living entities. Another example given in this regard is that lilies open or close because of the sunshine, and thus the bumblebees enjoy or suffer, but the sunshine and the sun globe are not responsible. We are not responsible for the happiness and distress of the bumblebees. So Chintaketu Maharaj is pointing out here the position of the Lord, the position of the living entities in the material world. That the living entity in the material world, he is suffering, enjoying. Means that's why they've come. They've come to enjoy. Now, when one comes to the material world, then one has created already a duality. Means there's the spiritual realm and there's the material realm. In the spiritual realm, you have the Lord, who is the enjoyer. And when we create the material world, then we have the living entity, who is the enjoyer. So this automatically creates duality. So then, within this, the spiritual platform is the proper platform of the living entity. Living entity should be serving the Lord in a devotional mood, in according to his natural position. But in the material world, then they are acting the opposite. They are not acting according to the Lord's, to please the Lord. They are acting to please themselves. So now we must create in the living entity, since they have already accepted this duality, then it must be made very conscious to the living entity that there is some standard. There's the Lord's standard, which is the spiritual realm. So that is actual proper activity. That is the real piety. And then activities, any activity in the material world, or any material activity, that is improper or impious. So then this, for someone who is in the material world, who does not know about the spiritual world, this would be very hard to create. Because proper means the piety of the spiritual world. Improper means activities in the material world. So therefore, in the material world, then the material activities are split into two. What is pious and what is impious? So proper means it is according to the Lord's order, following the shastras. So that becomes pious activities. And that which is not according to the Lord's order, then is impious activities. So we have a slight understanding of the transcendence here. So even the materialist, then they will understand this is good, this is bad. But they may not understand that it's good because God has given the good path. And what is bad is going against that path. So the purpose of this then is that the living entity then at one point can be brought to show that material life is not good and spiritual life is good. Because they understand this principle. Otherwise, if that's not established, then everything's just, all the activities are the same. And therefore, the spiritual just gets put in along with that. You know, you have, you have so many devatas on your altar, and you come along with Krishna, he just gets put in there also. You know, you can put in anybody. Prabhupada talks about one man had a picture of Hitler. Because of Hitler, his business was doing so good. Right? The war was going on. I think he was working in metal business. And then so much metal he was selling to the army and that. So he was very happy with Hitler. So he used to worship him every day also. You know, so everybody just goes in. But this means there's no discrimination. So discrimination has to be there. So what happens is we learn to discriminate just between matter and matter, but between matter and spirit. So this principle then must be there. So then Chitraketu is pointing out here that for the devotee, then the material pious and impious doesn't really matter, because it is all impious if it's not connected with the Lord. Pious means serving God. You know, the natural position is in the spiritual realm. So if an activity is not in relationship to God, it is factually impious. So the pious and impious activities, the so-called pious and impious activities in the material world, which are actually both impious, because they bind one to the material world, that then Chittaketu is making the point, the devotee doesn't worry about this. Whether he's happy or materially happy, materially distressed, materially honored or dishonored, or has opulence or doesn't have, or is in heaven and hell, it doesn't matter. Because it's all matter. Right? Because it's material, therefore it's both are the same. You know, it's just like you take some mud and you roll some of the mud into a ball and you make the other mud into a nice square. Right? Now for a child, this will be great difference, right? One is a gulab jamun and the other one is a burfi. But you give it to an adult, they're both pieces of mud. They have no meaning at all. In fact, you wouldn't even want to eat them. But the kid there, yeah, they're serving them out to their friends and they're having a big party and everything, but it's all mud. So the same way as the living entity in the material world is very eager to differentiate between this one and that one, and, you know, this material energy, that material energy, you know, one lives in this part of town, or one lives in that part of town, or one drives this vehicle or that vehicle, right? The houses on this side and that side are made out of bricks. The cars are all made out of tin and rubber and plastic. But we make discrimination that this tin, rubber, and plastic, this is high class, and this tin, rubber, and plastic is not high class. And so this is happiness, that's not happiness. So Chittaketu is making the point is for the devotee, then they're not interested in this. So for him, whether he is, you know, flying around in a flower airplane or he's cursed to be the Vritrasura demon, for him it does not matter. Because unless it's in connection with the Lord, there is no happiness. So Vritrasura, because he's a devotee, he will remember the Lord no matter what the situation. Therefore, he's always happy. So this point is being made here. Then Krishna, because he has established all this, he can't be blamed for this. Sometimes we want to blame the Lord or say he is the one that's doing. Right? Means in the beginning we'll say, of course, I'm doing. But then when you present the philosophy, no, we're actually the modes of nature are carrying it out. You're desiring. Then it's kind of like, oh, well then let's get them, you know. They're the one that's giving me trouble. Well, no, but the modes of nature are controlled by the Lord. Well, let's get him, you know. Let's blame him. He's the one that's done all this. My distresses, it always has to be someone else. This is very important. Very important, how you say? If you want to make it in the material world, there's one principle you have to know very, very well. If anything is good, we are the cause of it. It is ours to enjoy. And if something is wrong, it's always someone else's fault. You have to get this straight. If you ever consider it's your own fault, right, then you might become a devotee. Right? But if you consider it's someone else, then you can stay in the material world as long as you like. Right? And that someone else can be anyone. Another devotee, you know, the government, you know, the spiritual master, you know, God himself. You know, it's always someone else, right? That's why I'm suffering. So this is very important, right? It means you have to take it from the authorities, like Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. It means all the problem comes because this, you know, God always gets in the way, you know? I mean, he's taken one girl. Why does God have to make such a big deal out of it? You know, or he's taken over the universe and chucked everybody else out. You know, what's the big deal? I mean, he's the strongest one, might makes right, and so what's the problem? Why does God always have to get in the way? So, But here it's being pointed out, Chitta Ketu, that God establishes that this is good and this is bad. Because now why would he make material good good and material bad bad? Because material good has some indirect connection with the Lord and moving towards the Lord. All pious activities elevate. They take one up from whatever position one's in. Whatever position you're in, you perform pious activities, it will purify you more, it will raise you to the mode of goodness. Like this. So it takes you towards the Lord, indirectly, but at least there. And by following it, these rules have been given by the Lord himself. So by following, accepting and following pious activities means we accept the authority of God. Maybe directly, maybe indirectly. Impious activity means we're going against the standards set by the Lord. We're choosing to not follow them, either by ignorance we don't know, or by conscious effort. So then that gives us a bad reaction. So then these both are there. Now the living entity, he has the choice to perform pious, impious, or transcendental activities. So for the materialist, if he chooses pious, he'll get the pious result. He chooses impious, he gets the impious result. Right? One can't blame the Lord for our choice and the result. It's just like you go to a machine and you have some choices what you can get from the machine. You put in your money, you push the button, and if that item that you push the button for comes out, you can't blame the people who made the machine, why this came out, why the other one didn't come out. You know? It's just you. What you pay for is what you get. Right? So that's the way it is all these options are made because otherwise people will they'll get bored in the material world. Right? I mean, it's dead matter, doesn't do anything. So God has made so much nice arrangement with it and given us the ability to discriminate between it, so we say this is good, this is not good. And then in this way we keep ourselves busy. What we want, then we move towards that. What we don't want, then we move away from that. And then in this way, then we get our good and bad reactions. So God is not to blame. If something is coming, then Chitra Ketu points out that it is due to my past activities. Maybe I don't see it now, but in the past I have done. Right? If I'm getting any good result, it is something that I've done. If I'm getting any bad result, it's also something that I've done. I don't blame it on someone else. Right? The instrument may be, right? Just like, let us say there is somebody and another person comes up with a bamboo and hits him over the head. Do we ever take the bamboo to court? Right? We take the person to court. Right? The bamboo we don't take to court. So in this way is the person, the modes of nature are carrying out the activity. The person that's used as the instrument, we can't blame them. If we have some distress that comes to us through another living entity, we can't blame that person. Because they're just an instrument of the modes of nature. They're just an instrument. We deserve to get bothered or have some distress in a particular way. We are going to get it. And then the modes of nature arrange it through, you know, adi-daivik, adi-bhautik, adi-atmik klesh. It comes through something. Otherwise, how will you get it? Right? Unless it takes a gross form, how will you get it? Or it takes a subtle form, we get anxiety, mental anxiety, so many other things. So it comes through that. But that person is only an instrument. The modes of nature are carrying it out. Why are the modes of nature doing it then? Because we desired it. We may say, well, I didn't desire the person hitting me over the head with the bamboo. But then we have to look back. Now, if we're getting hit over the head with the bamboo, there's a good chance that we arranged someone else got hit over the head with the bamboo. So by doing that, we got what we wanted. Something we wanted, we performed an activity. But along with hitting someone over the head with the bamboo and getting the benefits of that action, also comes the reaction of getting hit ourselves over the head with the bamboo. So we have to understand both come together in the same desire. But the living entity has a tendency to try to finesse that one, you know, and just not worry about that side. Like the thief likes to steal the things and have the benefit of, the opulence of what he has stolen. But he generally tries to avoid the reaction from the government for stealing, that he will be caught and punished. So for every activity, there's always a nice side and a not nice side. So this is the thing. We see from the mode of ignorance, you know, the reaction may be very, the good may be, what we consider to be good is very strong. The reaction is very strong. Right? Passion, then, it's also this very strong. There. Goodness, it's the happiness is very minimal. The distress is very minimal. They're balanced. They go together. Every activity has a balanced reaction. So then they go together. So any material activity performed, we understand it is coming due to my reactions I have done. So we consider it the mercy of the Lord. By the Lord's mercy, then we are getting the reactions and we are given an opportunity to remember the Lord. So the devotee, because he remembers the Lord, whether it's materially favorable or materially unfavorable, he remembers the Lord. And if one's not a devotee, if it's materially favorable, one's happy. If it's materially unfavorable, one's unhappy. Therefore, the devotee is not disturbed by happiness and distress. It doesn't bother them because of this. And the Lord, he is not responsible, because he simply set up the material world because we wanted to enjoy Krishna's energy. And so this is the only energy that will allow that. The spiritual energy is not going to let you touch. Right? It means Ravana never could touch Sita. Right? And the Maya Sita was there. He never touched. So we want to touch. The spiritual energy won't allow. But the living entity wants. So then you have to give something that's different. Right? You know, it's just like Krishna wants the moon. He wants to eat the moon. You know, it's very condensed butter. He wants to eat it. And so everybody's saying it's this, it's that, so many things. He's saying you're all lying. Right? So Mother just showed us, says, okay, then let us try to catch it. He says, well, you can't eat it because there's, you know, those spots, that's poison. Right? When he churned the milk ocean, then the poison came and the moon came. So some of that poison on the moon, so you can't eat it. But he's still not happy. At least, okay, I can hold it in my hand. So the Mother Yashoda gets a little mirror, puts it in Krishna's hand, and he can see the moon in his hand. Right? So they fulfill the desire, but it can't be fulfilled in the way the living entity wants it. Living entity wants to enjoy the spiritual nature. No chance. Right? Spiritual nature won't allow. Krishna won't allow. You know, why this disturbance? Therefore, the material energy, which is dead matter, you can do whatever you want with it. So then Krishna has given that. Then the living entity can try to enjoy as they like with it. And Krishna has created some variety because we're used to, you know, spiritual, transcendental, very nice. And so he creates the whole illusion that this is like the spiritual realm. Right? Every living entity thinks they're going to live eternally because they are eternal by nature. Every living entity thinks that we'll be happy here because the living entity is happy by nature. So Krishna creates the illusion that you will get it here. But after a long time, the living entity understands, I won't get it here. And that is the sign of real intelligence, that they can understand that material nature, good or bad, cannot give me happiness. Therefore, I do my duties, I do my service, I follow the principles properly, and whatever good or bad comes is the mercy of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what it is anyway. If it's very nice, not nice, then fine. It does not matter, because in any condition, remembering Krishna, doing spiritual activity, that's the real piety. So for a devotee, then taking the material pious activities, engaging them in the Lord's service, then that becomes spiritual. And taking the spiritual activities, and means the transcendental activities, engage them in Krishna's service, that is transcendental. So all this becomes the realm of activity of the living entity, because he wants to situate himself in the spiritual realm, the devotee. But he's in the material world, he takes that aspect of the material world and engages it in the Lord's service. Then it becomes spiritual. And material energy not engaged in Krishna's service, that is rejected. So he sees everything in relationship to this. And then what benefits or non-benefits come from the material world, he's not worried about it. He doesn't care. He can't, you know, why will he bother caring? It's nothing to do with him anyway. Do the adults worry about, you know, the children's, you know, mud gulab jamuns and burfi? Worry about it all. Something for the kids. You know, all the materialists on the planet, in the universe, want to enjoy so many things and have so much opulence and so much material happiness. What do we care? You know, I mean, kids can sit there and eat in a mountain of, you know, mud gulab jamuns. I mean, it doesn't bother us. It does. It's not that we feel some pain. Why I'm not enjoying also? Because we know that is not enjoyment. So whatever they have, it's not enjoyment. It's simply distress. Right? It's just that one distress gives the illusion of happiness. The other distress then looks like distress. But both of them are just trouble. Right? Any questions on this? A little too esoteric, that one. Too boring. What time is it now?
Quarter to 9.
Well, that's a normal class. So, if no questions on this, then yes. We heard you talking to Balaram.
When your children they are getting those flowers and going to the house and please enjoy. At the same time when you're looking it's like no way, it's no enjoyment. So at the same time it's like for you for the environment for itself, it's like it's working like an enjoyment way. So the thing is Krishna itself is doing all these things for us to be in those situations, and this is Krishna's energy in this way, suppose must work, or the things is like only illusion.
Material energy.
Yeah.
Enjoyment in the material world.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's asking, is the enjoyment in the material world, is it illusory, or is it, you know, is it actually there? Means the things in the material world, everything that we're seeing is actually present. Material nature is there. It is real. But what we put on it, that is not real. In the material world, we see something, and that is considered very, you know, wonderful, and something else is not considered. So we put that label onto it. Because for the material, just like you may have a very, you know, the city garbage dump, so it doesn't look very attractive. Or you have a very wonderful, nice, peaceful, natural scenery, and that will be considered as something very nice. But for the devotee, neither of them are very nice. Because the spiritual realm, that is nice, and anything material is not nice. Or you take a crow, the natural, wonderful, pure scenery, there's nothing there for a crow. You don't see crows out in very beautiful, nice places. You see them at the garbage dump. For them, the garbage dump is the most beautiful place in the city. So we put the idea of what is good, what is bad. You know, that's how you get fashion. Something that the day before you wouldn't be caught dead wearing, then today is the latest fashion. And then tomorrow again you wouldn't be caught dead wearing it.
So that's just, we put the idea onto it. It itself is just dead matter, but we decide this is good, this is not good. So this brings up, oh, it's just a side point, very interesting, is therefore good and bad, the standard must be set by God. It means any standard of good and bad, we have to compare that with what is coming from God. Because God sets the standard. Otherwise, then how will we know it actually is good or not? This is the difficulty we come up with in sometimes modern, you know, judicial situations. Because they've left God's standard. They don't know how to decide what's good or bad. You know, it's just like freedom of speech. Before, freedom of speech meant you could speak your religious views or your political views, and no one would throw you in jail, which was going on, you know, in previous times. And it still goes on nowadays, but whatever. The idea was that. So nowadays, people take it and they speak all kinds of very foul, terrible, disgusting, dirty language and all this and that. And then if it's they're corrected on that, that this is indecent, then someone will say, but this is his freedom of speech. This is how he likes to talk. And so then, because they have no standard, then it does apply in this way, though originally it was applying in a different way. There was some standard of God consciousness, so they set the standard. But now, because that's thrown out, there's no standard. It could mean anything. Freedom of speech, what does it mean? So they don't know. Or like you take the child, abortion. Well, because, you know, it's until it's born, it's not alive. And then some say, well, no, when it's 7 months, then it's alive. So then, okay, if we kill it before that, it's okay. So then they run into all these different difficulties because they don't accept God's standard of the living entity, that the soul is there, the soul is entered, so it's alive. So because of this, then we run up with all different things. So we always have to see in our life as the standards that we decide what's good and bad, that those standards have to come from Krishna. And then they are, for us, authorized by the acharyas. And then we see that then life becomes very easy. What's good, what's not good. Otherwise, then we can speculate, you know, a lot. Speculation can go on. If good is no conclusion, just speculating, like the impersonalists, the jnanis, for them, conclusions they don't actually want. A real jnani does, but generally we see the jnanis don't want, because then as soon as you come to conclusion, the fun of speculation is over. You know, it's finished. But as we were reading in Nectar of Devotion, like 13th chapter, then Rupa Goswami makes the point that Sukadeva Goswami, because he was already on the liberated platform, he was not interested in speculation. He was interested only in conclusion. So then there's no need of speculation. So for the devotees, because they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're situated in the devotional process, then they don't want speculation, they want conclusion. Because they have no interest in the material world, either gross or subtle. They deal with it how they must. It is their duty. They have attachments or they don't have attachments, and they engage those attachments or detachments in the Lord's service. And then in this way they become happy. But the standard must come from the Lord. Otherwise, one can't get anywhere like that. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, every different acharyas in our disciple succession, each individual acharya begins in a different way to the material world. It's like Santa Acharya, Madhu Acharya, and then until the last crowd, are being seen in different way, or just everyone is seen in one way or another?
He's asking is if the different acharyas seeing in different ways the material world, you know, or in the same way. And he gave example, you have Shankaracharya, Madhva, you know, Ramanuja, Prabhupada, like this. No, the material world by the liberated soul is seen in the same way. They always see it in the same way. The difference comes is that some, I mean, these acharyas you mentioned, they all see the material world in the same way, and they see the spiritual realm. But others, they may come to the Brahma Bhuta platform, they only see the material world in the same way, but they don't see the spiritual. The Brahma Bhuta platform is seen in the same way. The material world is dead matter, and the mind through the senses is interacting with that depending upon the ego, and then you make it into something. Right? Like you have this nice chair. Right? Now, those who are worried about their backs will consider this to be, you know, a fairly decent chair. Like that. But you bring out this chair and bring in a dog or bring in an elephant, you know, or that, then they couldn't care less. You know? A bird will sit on the chair because it's the higher thing in the room. It's higher than the table. You know, a dog might curl up and sleep in it. You know, it's a little warmer than the floor. Elephant is just something fun to push around the room with their nose. Right? So it's just, we put what the value to it. It doesn't have a value. It only has some value if it's connected to Krishna. Otherwise it has no real value. Therefore, Dharma has to come from the Lord, because then it has some meaning. Like Varnashram has meaning because it comes from God. Other systems don't have any meaning because they don't come from God. But we'll see that if you go back to the old systems, they have some little bit of meaning because they're based on, you know, ancient times going back to the Vedic system. It's whatever civilizations are there in the world have some connection back to the Vedic culture. So you see some common theme amongst them. Right? Like that. But otherwise, once you leave, you know, proper religious elements, then you go into the animal life. And then in animals, you have those who are more situated in goodness, those in passion, those in ignorance. And then depending upon that, then that culture will become prominent. But the values will just come. So you have to have a standard. So if your standard is dog standard, then you'll see the material world through dog vision. And then you will decide what is good or what is bad. Right? That makes sense? Like that. But as far as the material energy goes, for the liberated soul sees it the same. It's the same dead map. It's the same modes of nature making it work. They just see it there. It's just a mechanical process. See, then last question is, he was saying is that Prabhupada had mentioned that he could, if we were really, how do you say it? If we were, had that dedication, we could conquer the world in 18 days. So then, supposing that is done, the whole world's Krishna conscious, then would Prabhupada be seeing this as material or spiritual? Spiritual means it's engaged in Krishna's service. Material means it's not. So in the spiritual realm, everything is engaged in Krishna's service. So therefore, we understand it in that way. Material world, it can be done either way. It can be engaged materially impiously, materially piously, or spiritually. So if it is spiritually engaged, it's made of the material elements, but it doesn't act like the material elements. It acts spiritual. So therefore you consider it spiritual. Just like the Bhagavatam, this is still made out of the same trees that, you know, the newspapers made out of. But because this has the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes written on this, then this gives a spiritual result. So we deal with this as spiritual. We don't deal with it as paper. Right? Because we go by the result. Right? You judge something by its result. If it's good, you go by the result. Right? You buy a machine. If it works, gives you the result you want, you say it's good. If it doesn't give you the result you want, it's not good. Right? So the result's the important thing. Right? So result is things that are engaged in Krishna's service give you a spiritual result. Therefore, they're spiritual. Right? It's just like iron and fire. You can sit around and talk all day, oh, it's iron, you know, and it's this, it's, you know, iron is black and it's cold and it rusts. But let's see someone maintain that, you know, mood of authority and sobriety when a very hot piece of metal that's been in the fire, that's red hot and is flames are coming out, is coming towards their nose and is going to touch their nose. Are they going to maintain that? No, because it's going to give a different result. So even though you can say it's fruitless to talk about its qualities of iron, it has the qualities of fire. Right? That's why so many points are made, why the devotees, the deity, everything is seen. One doesn't talk about the material qualities, because that doesn't matter, because they are the Lord has entered into the deity. The devotees are chanting and serving the Lord. Their consciousness is spiritual. Therefore, the material qualities aren't worth looking at. Right? It's not worth looking at it. You know, I can look at the Bhagavad, oh, this page is ripped. But does that make it a useless book? No, I can still read all the nice transcendental literature. So a devotee from previous habit may have a few bad habits. But that doesn't mean that the good habits, the devotional side, we can just throw out. That makes sense? Okay. So things engaged in Krishna's service are seen as spiritual. Those that are not are seen as material. Whether it's nice or not nice, it's material. Right? And whether it's nice or not nice, it's engaged in Krishna's service, it's nice. Like, I think the first one there on 26 Second Avenue, or maybe it was 51. No, I think 26 Second Avenue. And somebody joined and they had an old bus. You know, there were no seats in the bus. The only seat, they took a chair in and put it in, other than the driver's seat, so Prabhupada could sit in. There's a big hole in the floor and all the exhaust is coming in and the devotees would pile in for going somewhere. I think they went to the UN for some big conference there. You know, to do Harinam there and all. And Prabhupada said, this is Krishna's bus. He was sitting in it very, you know, very dignified and moving along very nice, and the devotees are in the back. They're all happy. Right? So, because it's Krishna's bus, it's spiritual. It looked terrible, you know. It's probably, if they went down and tried to get it, you know, re-register it or something, it might, you know, they might have some problem. You know? But it was Krishna's bus, so it's perfect. Like that. This means, he's saying, so therefore everything is spiritual. Means, if you're God, then you see everything as His energy. So it's all His. So He has superior and inferior. But since we're not God, then we can either look at it like devotee, means if it's engaged in Krishna's service, it's spiritual, and if it's not, it's material. Or we can look at it like the materialist. If it's nice, we like it. If it's not nice, we don't like it. So these are the three kinds of vision that are present, though for us only two are available. The first one is already taken, like that. No options open. All right. We'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jayanitai Gaura Premana. Jai.